than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All right, guys, we got one preseason game left. Just a couple more spots to finalize. There's already been some cuts. There's some people showing off. Joining me to talk about all that, of course, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, not much, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. So you and I, we got to check out Game 3 at the stadium. It was great to be back at M&T Bank. It's been a couple seasons since I got to check it out and be there. I want to say this is it's been 2 years since I got to go to the bank again. We met up on Ravens Walk. I got to take my godson and my buddy Aaron to their first Ravens game. It felt like the regular season. Everybody was excited. Ravens Walk was all aglow. I mean, there was so much stuff going on. It was great to be back at the stadium.
Dude, it was great, man. I mean, the atmosphere was great. You know, it just was great to see everything from the, you know, the fireworks, the intros. You know, I mean, we had a great time on Ravens Walk. You know, we didn't get a chance to see Rise or Conquer, but, dude, I just had a blast meeting up with you and just enjoying the atmosphere, man. It's Ravens preseason game number 3 in the books. And it just was great overall for the experience. And it was great to see a lot of fans turn out. Obviously, being at a Ravens preseason game, of course, is always good. A Ravens Nation shows face.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, this was the first preseason game, first game ever that my buddy Aaron and my godson Gabriel got to go to. And I actually recorded a quick little interview with my godson, who was only 3, to talk about what he liked about the Ravens. I'm going to play that for you guys right now. It's just a quick 30 seconds, then we'll be talking about Joe Flacco and all that good stuff. So, check it out. Here's my interview with my godson Gabriel right here on The Call.
Gabriel, what'd you think of your first Ravens game?
I know.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player, Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you root for every Sunday? Is it the Ravens?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you like the best about the game?
The sinks.
The sinks? What is that? You mean the sacks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You gonna go back to a game with Uncle Brandon?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys, there you go. Quick interview with my godson. That's a 3-year-old's perspective of Game 3 for the Ravens.
What? Wasn't that neat or what, bro?
It was good, man. That was a lot of fun. That was a good game. I'm glad he got to experience. I'm glad I got to be the first one to take him to a Ravens game. But let's get into it, man. Game 3, the return of Joe Flacco and T. Sizzle. What did you think of these guys? Let's start off with Joe Flacco. How do you think he looked?
I think he looks sharp, bro. My friend almost called it, and I didn't call the play, but I said, wouldn't it be great if we just drive right down the field, take this ball, and put up 7? And, oh, my gosh, man, when Mike Wallace streaked down the left side of the field and Flacco threw it up, I swear he was going to hit him, and he just overthrew him, whether it was timing or excitement. But that ball, a little bit of air under it, and Mike Wallace is running under that pass and on home free to the end zone. But he looked good, man. Everybody looked sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. I was happy to see Joe back. I don't know if you read this or not, but on the Ravens website, they were talking about how much time Joe Flacco had with the ball. And apparently, he only had the ball for like an average of 2 seconds. So he's getting rid of the ball very quickly. And one of the things they're doing is they're kind of going for shorter passes with the wide receivers, with the tight ends, because they want the tight ends and wide receivers to then be able to catch the ball and then get that extra yardage by running. So Joe's going to still have that long ball, but they're kind of focusing on the short game with his first game back.
Of course, man. And it was great to see the attack. I think it was a healthy balance of run and pass, to be honest with you. It was very impressive for all. Again, Flacco was throwing the balls in there, zooming. We were running the ball relatively well, as we've been doing this preseason, and it was a healthy balance. And even though it didn't really put seven on the board, it still was a great showing. I was just very excited to see, again, overall the offense and performance and how they operated.
Yeah, so what did you think about Terrell Suggs? This was his first game back since week one of last year. It seems like he's a little bit rusty. He's a little bit slower than he was, but I didn't see anything to be too concerned about.
No, not at all, and I actually disagree with you there. I don't think he was rusty. I mean, apart from what I've seen, I don't know where your vantage point was at the stadium or how close, but he shot a couple of blocks and hit the running back in the backfield in the second series, and you remember if the first two games, remember our concerns? They led long drives with field goals ending with them. Yeah, yeah, they bend but not break mentality, where if it wasn't for a pass interference call, the Ravens would have three and out to start the game, and essentially they kind of unofficially did, because the next series they stopped them and forced a punt. So that was something to see. And even with Doom not in, Suggs enters, Doom's not in, we still see that. So that's a pretty much improved on the starting defense, and I can't say that enough. And Terrence Brooks almost had a pick.
Yeah, so of course we're going to talk about it. We are losing Ben Watson for the entire season due to the first play of this game. He tore his Achilles, which I thought that's why we got a real turf. It was supposed to get away from these Achilles injuries, but he tore up his Achilles. He's going to be out for the rest right. of the season. What does this do to the offense here? Because other than Ben Watson, you have what? Dennis Pitta, Max Williams, both guys are hurt right now. You have Crockett Gilmore, who's still getting into football shape. Tight ends, it's looking very slim right there at that position.
Very much is, man. Very unfortunate to see. Very sad to see Ben Watson go. He rarely even played a couple snaps with us, and he's already out for the season. It could be a career ender for him. It's just very disheartening to see, and what is with these Achilles, man? But Suggs, Steve Smith, and now Ben Watson, man, the Achilles. And again, you can't see anything about the field because this was grass versus turf. So these injuries happen. And speaking of that as well, we had another scare and I thought I jinxed him because I tweeted the kid is balling, and all of a sudden Kenneth Dixon gets walloped and almost right in front of me, and that looked a lot worse than it did. But no diagnosis, so I thought it was okay. And then they come out saying it's a sprain, could miss up to a month. So he's not all lost cause, but, man, the kid was balling. So I was really, you know, not to discount Watson's injury, but I was really happy to hear the prognosis on Kenneth Dixon, man, the rookie, because he's showing promise.
Yes. Quickly. So with the running back position, of course, we have Justin Forsett, we have Terrence West, we have Buck Allen, who I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Buck Allen, he came in very late into the game on game three. I don't think he really even got a snap until, I want to say, the third quarter after halftime. It was really all about Terrence West and Ken Dixon and what those two guys are going to do. Now, with Lorenzo Taliaferro going on the PUP list, he's going to miss the first six weeks of the regular season. Is it now kind of decided that those are going to be our three running backs right now? It's going to be Forsett and Terrence West and Buck Allen. Does Ken Dixon have to kind of wait now to find a spot because of this injury?
At this point, Brandon, I think he might, but I wouldn't say hold off just yet, because again, these injuries do cut the roster. The roster cuts a little bit because now you got to make room for shuffling a bit because of the injuries. But no, I think they're going to save room for Dixon. I don't think he's no odd man out. But there could be an odd man out discussion with Buck Allen because of the fact that Terrence West is showing a lot of promise. We have Forsett in the starting position. I don't know how it's going to play out, man. I think what's going to happen is they're going to have to, you know, bust somebody down the practice squad or release somebody and then hopes they get them back. But, I mean, I really hope they have a roster spot, but I don't see them, you know, hugely in making a mistake there. The Ravens are smart. And who is showing promise, though, is Terrence West. He's got the job as a second back, in my opinion. That's where it's key right there.
Do you think Justin Forsett is our clear-cut number one right now?
Of course. It's going to be – I prerequisite that by saying it's going to be a committee and who's hot. But, yeah, Justin's going to get the starting nod. But you're going to see what's going on in the NFL now, where the premier back's not going to really much force to carry the whole load. You're going to see other people take over and other people take it stead. So it's going to be that what we had back in 2008 was a three-man workhorse when we had, you know, Ray Rice, Willis McGahee, and LaRon McLean. So, I mean, when we had all those runners, you know, who's to say, you know, with the hot hand gets it or keep them fresh? I think you're going to see that mix this year.
Now, for the 53-man roster, let me ask you, when we do have Ken Dixon back, is there going to be room for four running backs? I understand three like we've had before, but four, that seems like an awful lot of guys on that team to be taking up a roster spot.
It seems like an awful lot, to be very honest with you. You're right, but I think we'll make it done. I mean, the 53-man roster is going to be, you know, iffy at best in trying to make these cuts, man. I mean, because you have Pitta coming back, you have Max Williams coming back. It's just going to be a who's in, who's out, and you have to make that tough decision. And I wouldn't want to be in the coaching staff shoes. It's a tough choice to make, and it could be impactful for the season because, you know, if you're going to cut an impactful player for the team, who knows how they would pan out in the course of the span of the year. So I really wish I could put my fingers on who they might keep there, but it's right now it's really tough. It's really, really tough right now.
Now there's two other guys I want to bring up, and I'm pretty sure you know who I'm going to be talking about that has had a really good showing these three preseason games. We have Jeremy Butler, and we have Adam Levine Sr. Those two guys have had two really great preseasons, good training camps. We've known those guys for a little bit. They've been on the practice squad. They've had such a good showing, and I know it's preseason, but how do you not make room for these guys on the 53-man roster? They're putting in the work. They're looking great. I mean, they're making plays. I don't know how you at least don't give these guys at least a shot during the first couple weeks, especially with a couple suspensions and people on PUP lists. They have to have a spot on this team that could come regular season.
They have to, and I mean, you say that given what we're dealt with as far as playmakers on the field and depth, because we need to have the depth, and that's what, again, I've said time and time again, that's why preseason is ultimate, man, because you're seeing the roster cut, you're seeing the team being art, you know, the architect of the team being that Ozzie's making the cuts, and you know, and Harbaugh's having a say, and you're seeing the 53-man roster take shape, and it's really tough sometimes. It's really tough to pinpoint on who do you want to keep, who do you want to not to keep, and sometimes those tough decisions come back to haunt, and you know, I really hope that's not the case, but it's really going to come down to what have you done in the preseason. Jeremy Butler showed, Anthony Levine's coming out of nowhere and making plays. He had a pick, almost a pick six. He had the run back 2-point to win it in Indianapolis. So, I mean, we've had some strong showings. We've had some promise. We've had some emergence. Then we have some casualties. I mean, you know, I feel good about Darren Waller coming back in week five because he's shown a lot of promise being a tight end, and he's made some incredible plays. So I really can't wait to see how it all pans out, man.
And let me just say, it's Anthony Levine. I said Adam Levine, and that's the lead singer of Maroon 5.
Maroon 5. I was going to say, I knew you said that. I was waiting for you to pick up on it because I was going to bust you later.
Yeah, I don't want Anthony Levine on the Voice, and I don't want Adam Levine on the Ravens. So let's keep those two guys separate. But those two guys, I mean, I know it's preseason, and I know they're up against second and third string guys, but God, I at least got to say, you got to give them at least a shot in the first game to see if they can, how they do against the number one team, because they've been making plays. I mean, that touchdown from Jeremy Butler from Ryan Mallett in game three, that was a thing of beauty. He was able to track the ball. He fell with the ball. I mean, that was a big play. I like that. And I know we have a lot of guys at wide receiver right now. You know, Perryman potentially making his debut this Thursday. We have Kamar Aiken, Steve Smith. You have Mike Wallace. It's a crowded place to be, but gosh, that he seems like a guy you don't want to go through waivers. You don't want to get picked up by somebody else. He's a good talent.
Yeah, I'm actually just really anticipating on how that pans out for us. He's just really coming to his own as of late, and he's been the understudy of these receivers. He's emerged as a starter, and I'm very impressed with what he's had to offer to the team. I'm very excited with his playmaking ability.
Yeah. All right, so let's look forward to week four. Like I said, Breshad Perryman.
Who?
I know. A guy who? That has been with the Ravens for about 18 months now, potentially making his first playing appearance for the Ravens, actually in a jersey, in pads, on this fourth preseason game. Josh, what are we looking for from this guy? Like we said, wide receiver's very crowded. What is going to be his main reason for making this team? What is his job?
His job? Interesting. His job is going to stay healthy. How's that? Pretty much straightforward. What we're going to look out for is I'm going to see his playmaking ability first and foremost. I'm going to see what he can do with staying healthy. If his skill set's still there, if he's the speed's still there. A lot of the things we're saying in the media coverage on him were his speed's still there. He's still got the raw speed. I mean, he hasn't really played a lot of games, so if any at all. I mean, the only action he has was practice and in scrimmages, not even a preseason game. So if we're going to see his raw speed on display, I want to see it before the regular season. You can't just throw the guy in on September 11th, just say, here, have at it. Have the starting offense against the Bills defense. It's not going to work out that way because we have 16 games. All they're all too important, and we can't have any of these room for error here. So I'm going to see him, how he acclimates to game speed, how he can stay healthy, and how his route running is. His route running is going to be the key on Thursday night.
All right, I'm excited to see what he does. I don't think he's going to be throwing with Joe Flacco in Game 4, but I still want to see what he can do working with Ryan Mallett. Does it look like Mallett's going to be our number one quarterback? Is he going to get the start in Game 4?
He probably will by default. Again, I like Josh Johnson, what he has to bring. He reminds me of that Tyrod Taylor type who actually got it. But there's been talk. Don't be surprised if other teams call. I mean, you have Romo out from the Cowboys 6 to 10 weeks with a broken back. Yeah, they're starting the rookie. I think Dallas wants to move in the direction of starting Prescott. But don't be surprised if the Ravens get a call about one of our two available backups because both have shown promise. Mallett was a backup. He started a few games for us last year. So I would not be shocked if that came to fruition and one of our starting quarterbacks currently on the roster or backup starting quarterbacks now would start for somewhere else. But that is a possibility. Could be remotely. I've heard of other QBs that could be moved around, so stay tuned.
Now, do you see this? Is what I was thinking. I was driving home from the game, and Q Qadri Ismail. He brought up a good point with these two quarterbacks. Both of them look very good. Could definitely be a backup to Joe Flacco. But who do we have in week one? You know, we have Tyrod Taylor coming back to town. We have Tyrod and the Buffalo Bills. And Tyrod, we know what kind of player he is. He's a running guy. Do you kind of keep around both these quarterbacks to practice against, I guess, to get ready for that type of quarterback? Do you use Johnson in that way? Do you run with three quarterbacks on your team, or do you just go with the two? I mean, Joe is coming off from an injury. What do you think?
I think it could happen to where that scenario is more likely than not. I think we might go with the three. Again, I could be wrong. That's an outside prediction. I think at best, Brandon. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I think at three, at best.
I mean, three is a lot to have on the team, but look at what happened last year. How many quarterbacks did we go through when Joe Flacco got hurt?
You're almost forced to.
Because yeah.
Flacco's knee, not that you're not hoping, but our rash of injuries have been crazy as of late. So you almost have to force to go three. Just by a hunch, because you're like, what if Flacco gets hurt again? You want to play the snares because you wouldn't even thought about this and before he got hurt because he's been the NFL Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, he's played every game since 08. Every game he started from day one against the Bengals, his first game in here, and he started every game up until last year against the Rams. So you wouldn't have thought about that. Now you have to go insurance policy. And then you figured, okay, well, if Flacco gets hurt, then we need to back up to the then starter. So, or do you go with two, roll the dice, and say Flacco's our guy and be optimistic and positive about it? He's not going to get hurt. If he does, we have a healthy starter on the bench. That, okay, then when, if the event that Flacco does go down again and we got to start somebody else, we'll scramble and go get somebody to be a backup to the backup. So I can see moving with two. I think you're forced with three by default. Two's the smart play.
Yeah.
But I think for a long shot, they might go with three. I've seen them to carry three before, but this team more often than not does carry two. So I think the smart play is two. The long shot could be three. But again, don't want to sound like a dead horse, but three, you're almost forced.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people they're planning on keeping in other positions. I mean, it really does come down to that 53.
And the tight end position's thin, so it creates a lot of discussion because our running backs are good. But I did hear some chatter in the stands, and we were discussing, hey, if we're going to go down in these positions, we're going down in the right spots. I hate to say that. Don't want anybody hurt, but it's not like we're going down in quarterback. It's not like we're going down in corners. You know, we're going down in wide receivers because we're already kind of iffy there with, you know, Steve coming back off an injury, hasn't really played much game speed at all. We don't know what it's going to be like. It is a Steve Smith that we know, so we know we're going to get that. And then Brashad Perryman is yet to be proven. Mike Wallace hasn't had much injuries. Kamari can stay relatively healthy. Jeremy Butler's coming to his own. So, again, you know, without that, it's just really tough to really pinpoint on where the depth's going to come from. But 53 men, you think it's a lot, man. But you add all these positions and all the players up, spots filling up pretty quick, bro.
What do you think of John Harbaugh talking about preseason and how he doesn't want a preseason anymore? He said what you should do is expand. I think he said expand the season to 18 games, but allow more than 53 men to be on a roster so you can cover more spots in case of injury. What do you think of that? Because I understand what he's saying. You see something like what happened with Watson. Now he's out for the whole season and was during a worthless game that the points didn't matter. But at the same time, you do have guys like Suggs and Joe Flacco coming back who do need a game to kind of prep for the regular season coming off an injury, because you don't want to go, you know, full blast, you know, game mode without kind of getting your feet wet a little bit coming back from injury.
I really agree with him 100% heartily, and I think it has to be looked at a whole from not only Dixon and Watson, but Romo breaking his back. How about the Ravens years back? You know, they hurt Michael Vick in a preseason game with Atlanta, and they took him out. So we know things happen. Fluke things happen in regular season games where you can't account for it because it could happen. But I think it needs to be looked at, especially after this year. Going down on me, but you still hear it in practice. How many guys get hurt in practice and you know, gone before the year's over, or gone out of the season before the season's even started, and they're practicing on their own field. So, I mean, look at Pitta. Got into a scuffle and hurt his thumb. So these things are uncontrollable sometimes. Yeah, the emotions get the best of you, but I think from conditioning standpoint, you're already playing 20 games, you know, 16 games, and then you're 4 preseason as a team, not as a starting unit, but you're playing football. So you're out there, live game action, refs, in NFL stadium with fans, 4 quarters of smash mouth football. You're hitting. I've seen the Ravens and Lions hitting each other. It was a great game. Apart from the scoreboard, and it was great, but they were hitting. You know, the Ravens were stopping the run. I heard the pads slamming, especially as the crowd thinned out, and you can really hear it echoing the stadium. I don't know if you stayed the whole time, but I sure did. And even towards the end of the fourth quarter, you can hear them hit. So I think preseason, this whole has to be looked at, man, because but there's no way to prevent it. You can look at preseason all you want. You can eliminate it all together and just start playing the games. But what it comes down to it is it's conditioning. And I think what it comes down to is this, bro. It's these practices and the CBA and limiting the practices. I think they need to get back to practicing in full pads and getting back to it, because that's where the argument is won and lost. It's because they're limited in practice. They're going hard in the games and getting hurt more in the games. Not to say that they wouldn't get hurt in practices, but I think it goes back to conditioning. And when you're not conditioned, injuries are more often to happen.
Yeah, I understand where both sides are coming from. I mean, maybe doing something like, since the starters always come out at halftime anyway, maybe doing like 2 mini games almost, you know? Do 2 quarters for starters, 2 quarters for the rookies. I don't know. I know the NFL owners, they love these 4 games because they're charging full price and you're not allowed to opt out of them if you're a season ticket holder. So, I mean, you're forcing the fans to pay for 4 extra games that, you know, they don't have to worry about the score at that point. So, I don't know. I can see it as hurting the team, but also helping the team because it helps them get back into playing shape. But I don't know. I think the NFL definitely has to take a look at it and figure out maybe 4 is too much. Maybe they should take it down to 2. Maybe they should expand the team from, you know, 53 to maybe like 70 or something like that. We'll see. We'll see. But, Josh, have we covered everything?
Brandon, man, we covered this to the max, and we have 1 game left this year for preseason. You just remember, we're less than 2 weeks away from real football, and we're just on the brink of a week away from real football starting with the Thursday night game next week. So it's upon us, bro. We got one more preseason Purple Friday to get through, and the real deal cranks up next week, man. It's opening week. Here we go, man.
That's
we're here.
Right. That's right. I'm very excited.
We have a special treat for everybody. Don't know if you wanted it announced, but me and you will be, again, doing our live on location series at a special location for Labor Day holiday weekend and getting the season started off right, man. We have a special treat in store for fans, man.
That's right. We'll be doing a season preview. We will be going to a special place in the Baltimore area. You guys can check out the next episode on YouTube. Make sure you check that out. And plus, we'll be telling you some of our plans and what we'll be doing for the podcast this season. We got some exciting stuff coming up, guys. But if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, if you're on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Josh and I are always sharing cool stuff. I know Josh is already in, like, the winter mood. He shared some clips from the snowy game that we went to a couple years
ago. I'm done, man. I'm done with this heat. I'm telling you. I don't know. I mean, people have been getting on me all summer long. I don't wish it. I mean, I love football, but especially going to the preseason game, I'm like, I can't. If it's this hot on September 11th, I'm in trouble because you know I'm wearing my gear and I don't care. I'll sweat in 110 degree humidity. I don't care. I'm doing it for my team, but geez, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's right. All right, guys, so check us out over there. Make sure that you subscribe to the show. Write us an iTunes review. Give us plenty of stars. There is lots and lots of choices for Ravens podcasts out there, and we thank you for continually listening to us. Listen to these two guys, these two fans, just ramble on about our favorite team, the Baltimore Ravens. But if you guys are like us, please be social with the show and let people know that you're a Ravens fan on social media. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I wear purple. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much. It's been great. Preseason is coming to a close, and we wrap the call up by saying it's been great. There has been some battles, again, some casualties and more. Really hate to see Ben Watson go down. I know he tweeted some positive words, and I hate to see his Raven career could be even over before it began. I was very excited to see him in purple and black, and we just wish him the best in recovery. Who knows, maybe he'll be back next year for one more go-around. We shall see. Stay tuned for that. But we got to get to the regular season. But first, we have the preseason finale in the Crescent City. We have New Orleans, and where we won Super Bowl 47. And again, guys, I know it's preseason game number four. It's Thursday night. You're going to be watching, I know. So don't be hemming and hauling next preseason. You got better things to do. Brashad Perryman is making his unofficial Ravens debut, so I know we're all excited for that. And hopefully he stays healthy. Let's knock on some wood around here. But it's going to be exciting, you know, even seeing the Ravens back in New Orleans, even though it is for preseason contest, and back in the city where it means a lot to us and where some special things occurred and where some special things ended. And really can't wait to see how it wraps all up. I wish the team a healthy trip, return back, and we're less than 2 weeks away from the opener. I can't wait to cover it, Brandon. We're all excited. Guys, stay tuned. It's going to be a special year. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.